Hello again, and thanks as always for tuning in to another episode of Menace Podman. This is episode 22, if we're being exact. I'm Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre. We hope everybody had a good week. Hope everybody has or had or is having a great Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day week, wherever you may be. Maybe you're streaming us on iTunes, out on the lake or something, or streaming us on Spotify, grilling up some brats. Wherever you're at, we thank you for tuning in and listen to this week's podcast. Also, whatever platform you listen to us on, make sure you get out, give us a review, give us some star rating. We'd appreciate it immensely. So this week, we see the NBA Conference Finals wrapping up. We got one of them actually wrapped up here already.
One in, one out.
We got the we got the Denver Nuggets in. We got the Lakers out. So that one's all done. And then obviously, as of we are recording this, there will be an additional, at least one more game in the Boston and Miami series. Let's see, where should we start? So we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. So we got
name on your paper, first thing.
And not just one first thing. I guess we got first things. We got about three things here to start on the top of the podcast with. The first one I wanted to start with, I actually put a tweet out on at Menace Podman on Twitter. And I'll just read it. So this is where it goes. So I said, I fucking love Draymond Green. I said, you don't have to agree with everything he says or does. I don't always, but you have to admire and respect that Draymond is 100% Draymond all the time. We can take a page out of his book and just be authentically and unapologetically ourselves. So I was listening to the Draymond Green podcast the other day. I wanted to hear what he said about the, you know, the Lakers being eliminated and whatnot. And just see what he had to say. I actually, when I watched the actual broadcast, I thought I saw LeBron just run off the court, and I was putting that two and two together when he was talking about Sabonis not shaking hands and stuff like that. Mm. And then I went back and I watched it again, and I realized that I didn't see it. LeBron actually did give a couple handshakes and hugs and stuff, so I just missed it. So that's what I was thinking about at the time. Yeah. Whatever. So watching it. So then that's at, let's see, this is at 4:58 p.m. on May 23rd, which is Tuesday, May 23rd. So then Stephen A. Smith, the great, wonderful Stephen A. Smith, he puts
in quotes,
he puts a tweet out May 23rd at 8:45 p.m. So this is literally like, what, 3.5 hours, 3 hours and 47 minutes after I tweeted that. And he's talking about J.J. Redick here. And he goes, you know why I love J.J. Redick? He is always unapologetically himself. He isn't one of those phony, inauthentic asses that smiles in your face and stabs you in the back. And then you go listen to his little video you post. And I was like, motherfucker. Like, you, yeah. I was like, is he one of the 15 people that saw my tweet and just completely ripped me off? Felt like it was word for word. It was funny.
Plagiarism at its finest right there.
He's a classic.
Well done, Stephen A. Well done.
Classic journalist. Yes. It was pretty good. But if you want to see the proof, I put it on the, I replied on the Twitter, so you can check us out.
It's out there.
All right. Topic number two of first things. Where was I going? So also on Twitter, I saw that there's this, what the heck is it called? It's called Jump Shot Live. I think it's just called Jump Shot, but their Twitter handle's at Jump Shot Live. Basically, it's a company. They're branding themselves as a basketball version of Topgolf. Coming soon, upscale basketball entertainment. And I saw this thing, and I was like, hell fucking yeah. I'm just going to swear all over this podcast today.
It's all good.
But there's actually renderings and stuff that it's just like this concept. They haven't built one yet or anything, but it's got like the bar in the middle and then all these basketball hoops around, and you can get separate bays and, I don't know, play a horse and crap with your friends and drink. So it looks like a lot
of fun. Sounds fucking amazing, man. That's heaven on earth.
I know. I was like, this is cool.
Sign me up.
And if you know anything about me, I am a huge, Papa Shot or Hoop Fever fan.
Yep.
And
pretty sure you have a record still at a few different places.
At many places, I would say. Not to pat myself on the back, but I would think I'm in, some of the top 1-2% of Pop Shot Hoop Fever players, and probably in the world or country. I don't know. I looked up some YouTube videos today too, and I was like, I wonder, what do people usually score on these games? Like, I was curious, and I looked it up, and there's people posting videos. They're like, I got an 87 today. I got 94. And I was like, what the fuck is it? Like, I usually regularly get like 120, 130, sometimes 140.
When's the last time you did one?
About 2 months ago, I believe I was out with Shmite and our buddy Alex, and we were playing Golden Tee, and I was just like, I saw the score on there. I think it was like 103 or something like that. And I was like, Alex, give me a dollar. I can beat this. He gave me a dollar. I think I got 118.
Nice.
First game. If you get over 100, you get another free game. And then I had like 121, I think, or 128 or something after that. So
we should record you doing it and then put it on Twitter.
So I've still got it, and I know people have seen me do it, so I've got proof.
We should totally do that, man.
Not all talk. So
we're doing that.
I feel like I'm going on a tangent, but also...
Wait. Here's an idea. We get t-shirts. We get Menace Podman t-shirts. You wear the t-shirt and then do it. We record the whole thing. I'll put it on Twitter.
I'll do it in a second for sure. All right. Done. Deal.
Yeah. We're doing that. We are doing that.
Do you remember... what was that on? It was on Kimmel, right? Jimmy Kimmel did he had the busboy play the Pop Shot against the NBA players. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yep.
I remember that. That was like one of my, I don't remember how long ago that was. That was one of my favorite things. They had Ricardo.
And I thought of you the whole time.
Yeah, Ricardo the busboy. He's probably the best ever, though. He had a really good rhythm.
He was awesome.
But yeah, he was from Barney's Beanery, I think it was, like in the LA area. I remember he played LeBron, he played Kobe, Charles Barkley. He played Blake Griffin, and he did like blindfolded, I think. They had Marv Albert doing the introductions.
That's right.
They're like, at 5'7", 145 pounds, it's Ricardo the busboy. Anyway, that was sweet. But anyways, getting back to that thing, so the Jump Shot Live thing, it looks really cool, and they actually have like, all like people behind this thing that are like notable people. There's a former CEO of Top Golf and FedEx that he's actually behind it. Looks like a Lakers assistant coach is here. But the name I mostly notice is Detlef Schrempf. He is a board member and investor. So
nice.
So that's pretty cool. So check that out too. I think I like something on our Twitter. So who knows? You know, there's probably going to be one or two for a long time, and we'll never be able to see one. But it was like when the Top Golfs came around, it was like, come on, come to our area so we can play. But,
sounds amazing.
Yeah. So it should be a lot of fun. All right. Moving on to the third thing. Oh, I feel like I echoed in there a little bit. I got a little loud. So with what was that? It was after game two. So we saw Austin Reeves in the meme come out. I don't know if you can take care of this one.
Oh man. Just, if you see the picture, you'll know right away. You just look at his hair, Austin Reeves, emo Austin, just looks straight out of an emo band. And, it was, you know, the highlight of the night on Twitter. Anybody and everybody was chiming in, all kinds of awesome names. I don't know. What were some of your favorites?
I know my favorite for sure. I think when I went, like Bleacher Report, I think had the best collection when they put out a few things and then people were commenting. I saw all there were like the lame ones too, like that were just based off of a song title.
Kurt Cobain was like the first one that like everybody kept saying.
Kurt Cobain was sweet. I saw Panic at the, and there was Panic at the everything, but Panic at the Crypto was probably one of the best sounding ones. But I saw like Panic in LA, Panic in the Conference Final. Oh, people were just using the same thing. The lead singer of Fall Out Boy was interesting.
Boulevard of Moving Screens.
Yep. And I think I know your favorite, so I'm going to tell you my favorite. My favorite, I think I told you too, was definitely the, who sang that song? Papa Roach, the Papa Roach song. And it was cut my life into pieces. AD won't space the floor. That was like the best one. I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm reading it now and I'm still cracking up a little bit. But
I lost all the ones that I had from before. But like,
I thought your favorite one was the Blink 180. 180 down 0-2.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was my favorite. That one, yeah. In the backboard confessional.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, that was great.
But yeah,
there were so many good ones.
There were.
I was
tons.
Trying to find them.
Yeah, you gotta like just scroll through all the comments. The thing was, they weren't all in the same spot. Like, it wasn't just like one person posted it and that was there. So you gotta find it. But
the picture's priceless, though. For anybody who hasn't seen the picture, he's got a black T-shirt on. He's got the hair. It's picture perfect.
You know,
it's so funny.
I saw people were comparing them to different celebrities. They had where the heck were they comparing them to? Like Cameron and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like Alan Ruck in that. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And they were comparing also to Todd Cleary and Wedding Crashers.
That's the one that I saw. I was cracking up.
That one was fantastic.
That picture where he's got the painting.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually looked up a clip of that today and I forgot about that. They're like at the dinner table and they're all talking and the grandma's like, that. I'm not going to say that on here, but...
Hair is exactly the same, though.
It is. It's fantastic. But anyways, so that's some fun stuff.
Check it out if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. But yeah, so some fun stuff here to start off the pod. And interesting enough, too, all this is probably social media related, right? That we find it. And we just had Jokic, was quoted saying that social media is a waste of time. So And weirdly enough, I completely agree with them. But if you use it the right way and you just kind of zero in on what you want to see and what topics, it's actually a lot of fun and very funny. But yeah, so we got Stephen A., we got Austin Reeves, we got the Top Golf or basketball that covers all that stuff. I guess we just go, I think we got a bunch of topics just surrounding the conference finals.
Yeah.
I guess we'll start with let's start with the one that's over. Start with the Lakers and the Nuggets. Oh, I got something for that.
Golden Nuggets.
That's a brand new one this week.
I love
that's
it.
Great.
I didn't even know about that one. I love it.
No, yeah, that one's fresh. it was funny. We were watching the Celtics Heat game yesterday, and I was like, "Where's Jason Tatum?" He was taking his finger and just pointing at number zero and just following him across the whole television. It was kind of funny.
That's but great.
Anyway, so yeah, Denver and LA. Obviously, LA is gone.
Yeah, Nuggets bowled out the brooms.
Yep.
Swept their asses.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
I was shocked. I can't remember who. Oh, it was Draymond in Draymond's podcast. He's like, if you had Miami and Denver winning, both of those teams, like, you were probably one of the few. So
yep.
I guess I was one of the few. And, nice. Well, I guess, you know, Miami still needs to win. So that's to be seen.
They're and going then, to, but, you know.
And we'll then, that. But he said that the hardest thing was nobody saw it like this, right? Nobody saw
these
sweeps, or at least the sweep on the one side. Whatever, we'll go into the Boston series after, but
yeah,
I guess, yeah, I don't know what other I got all these different topics on the series that I thought was interesting.
Well, first I want to just say, you know, I wasn't surprised that Denver won. I was surprised that Denver won the way that they did. Yeah. The fact that they swept the Lakers and just controlled the entire series basically from the tip, from the get go. And, you know, LeBron played as well as you could possibly ask for. I thought AD had a decent series. I don't think he, you know, dominated by any means, but he definitely played well, I would say. Denver just played their game to the fullest, and the Lakers couldn't stop them at all.
No.
It just came down to it. You know, we'll get into the Lakers a little bit. You know, D'Angelo Russell took a lot of the blame because he just completely disappeared.
Yeah.
And some other guys on the Lakers just kind of took turns having meh games. And that obviously wasn't enough. Denver, though, if you watch them and if you looked at the box scores and all that, just across the board, everybody played to the best of their capabilities and they did it consistently. They did it together as a team. Everybody contributed There wasn't anybody out there for the Nuggets who wasn't doing something. And that's the difference. Every single game, that's what it came down to.
No, that's Denver exactly right.
Denver had their, you know, hands all over this series.
Yeah, and I talked about it over and over again about, you know, eating crow in some of the last episodes. I was just a Denver hater, and maybe the thing is I didn't see him enough. I didn't watch him enough. I think during the regular season we've got so many teams to watch, and yeah, we do kind of look at the more popular players and teams that we like and things like that. So I don't think I gave him enough time of day. I obviously didn't. They were number one seed for a reason.
Well, don't be too hard on yourself, because my biggest thing is Denver is unproven. You
Correct.
Know, up until now, they hadn't reached the finals, and, you know, they haven't won anything. So they've got good players. They've got a really good coach, Michael Malone. Shout out.
Yeah. Went to your assistant coach, your alma mater.
Yeah. You know, go Grizz. But, you know, they just.
You know, I read he after the Grizzlies. Sorry to cut you off, but
no, it's okay.
After the Grizzlies, he was going to. Go into training to become a Michigan State Trooper, and then he got a call. Where did he go?
I don't think I knew that, but that doesn't completely surprise me.
No, I just read that.
I think he'd be a good fit.
I think it's on Wikipedia, and then he got the where did he go after that? I can't remember. He got a call from another college and went and joined somebody else. Or
I could picture him right now pulling somebody over and saying, "I know all your tricks."
He'd be like, he'd pull out a sheet just like he does at like halftime, and he'd be like, and instead of saying, you know, we just, you know, they shot 57% from the field, he'd be like, yeah. Do you know how fast you're going? And he'd just pull it out. He'd be like, you're going 57 and a 45, and got to be better than that. We got to be better than that.
And he would not blink the entire time.
Not at all.
Drive drunk, get a DUI. I guarantee it.
That's a great commercial. I forgot that commercial.
But anyways, the Lakers, it's okay. The Lakers just couldn't do anything to stop Denver the entire series. Every game, you know, a couple of the games, well, I mean, pretty much the games wound up being pretty close as a whole. But, you know, Denver just clearly, you know,
they didn't
the better
feel,
team the entire
they didn't feel
time.
That close, that's for sure.
No, and there were times where, you know, the Lakers were up a little bit, but then Denver would come back and steal the lead. There were other times where Denver would just come out with a lead, and Lakers would maybe chip away a little bit here and make it kind of close. But it just, you know, it was Denver's series the entire time. So, you know, huge credit to them. And, you know, they've proven that they're legit now. We'll get to Jokic here. He's been an absolute stud. He's done everything that he's been doing the last couple of years, except now he's getting it done when it matters most here in the playoffs. So,
As far as I've been probably looking at, you know, what the personalities on TV had been talking about people in the series, especially LeBron and Jokic and stuff. And with the LeBron stuff, I read so much stuff about it. I like dogging him, and it was like one or the other. It was like, you know, he, you know, put it all out there, and he was really good. And especially at this age and all that stuff, or at any age, honestly. And then I saw some people just hating him. And then it brought me to this thing, and I don't know how I found it. I bet it was a Twitter thing I stumbled across. And this is when I had to break to you, but I saw this, it's on Urban Dictionary. And if you, if you look up trans brown sexual. Yes, I said it on Urban Dictionary. It says a person who identifies themselves as a LeBron hater but can't stop thinking about him and talks about him daily. This kind of person secretly has a crush on LeBron James and is called a trans brown sexual.
Sounds like Kwame Brown.
Yeah, exactly. So let me use this in a sentence for you. This person hates. Or that hates LeBron James, talks about him more than his fans do. He must be a trans brown sexual. So I saw that today, and I was like, man, there are a lot of those out there.
There are.
I'm seeing it everywhere.
And they're annoying as hell.
People still even saying, like, the sweep, it goes against, like, his legacy towards, you know, being the greatest ever and the GOAT conversation and stuff like that. And I'm like, really? I feel like it kind of not, it doesn't help him obviously, but it's not like it was on him. Like, I think I thought he balled out, but whatever. Maybe that's just my opinion.
No, he did. In terms of this season, he did everything in his power. He led that team. We've talked all about how the Lakers, you know, transformed themselves at the trade deadline, and they responded. They looked fantastic. I think we both had every right to pick them to win this series. You know, they're the more proven team. I mean, the Lakers themselves, you know, when they won a couple of years ago, you know, it was LeBron, it was AD, but, you know, it was a lot of other players that aren't there anymore. So, you know, it's not the same team, but, you know, in any case, they were the more proven of the two franchises, of the two teams. So, yeah, you know, I think we had every right to pick them, but now Denver's proven that, you know, they're the ones to beat. And, you know, we'll get into the finals and stuff. But I think, dude, we need to get into the Jokic thing. We need to get into this whole where he was drafted. And
yeah, because, so. You told me that today off air. And I was like, man, how did I not know this?
I want to give a shout out right now to my teacher at school, my gym teacher, Maria Piazza. Huge shout out. She was the one that told me about this and I didn't realize it, but I did know that he was drafted 41st overall in 2014. I knew that he was a second round pick, but the best part about it was he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial, and there's proof out there.
there is a lot of proof. And what, round two, pick 41. Did you watch the whole audio, like if the actual on YouTube? You can find it.
I have not watched it yet.
Oh god. Okay, so you can watch the clip, not just because everywhere else you find it's just the image, and there's an image of the what the heck?
Just the image itself is hilarious, though.
I think it's a quesarito. Yeah, it's a quesarito. It's an image of a quesarito, and then it just says, you know, pick and Jokic at the bottom. But if you go on YouTube, you can find the actual like live, you know, not live broadcast, but the recording of it. And so right when it shows okay, so in the commercial it says two things you only dreamed would come together, and then right after that Nikola Jokic's name comes up on the bottom, and I'm like, man, that's sweet. And then it goes, a delicious cheesy quesadilla wrapped around a beefy burrito, and I'm like, I go, so you can only assume right now that the Denver Nuggets are that quesadilla, right? And Jokic has to be the beefy burrito. It's so good. It's like, I couldn't imagine better words behind it as it happened. Go check it out. It's definitely on YouTube. You can find
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Wait.
Couldn't describe his game any better than that right there.
No, not at all.
That should be on every scouting report.
Quesaritos were good. I loved quesaritos.
They were.
I mean, pretty good. Do they even have the quesarito there still? I don't, because they bring their, you know, different
they
things
come
in
and
out so many times. Yeah. Yep. I got pissed. I loved that that Crunchwrap Supreme with the Fritos in it. That was my
You know what they do, man? They go one in, one out.
Yes.
One in,
yes,
one
they
out.
Do. Taco Bell slogan.
Yep.
Anyways, back to Jokic. Yes, Jokic has been amazing. Now, I'll probably get crap for this, but I still feel like his numbers are still inflated based on the team he's on and the way they play the game and the players around him. And that's not bad. That's not saying anything bad on what he does. I just feel like I keep watching all these things. He's, you know, throwing football passes like Kevin Love and stuff because his teammates are running the damn floor and he can pass it. Like he's not getting all those assists on other teams. He's getting a lot, but not that many. That's
exactly. But you know what? That's what's allowed them to win. They're doing what it takes for them to win and beat these other teams that have star players that play their style of, you know, of games. And yeah, like you just said, these guys they know that the ball is coming to them. Jokic is looking for them. They pass and cut and move. They do everything that you're supposed to do. And these defenses can't stop it. They've tried everything they can, throwing doubles, zones, anything. They can't stop it. And you know, that's what it comes down to. So, you know, huge credit to the Nuggets. Huge, huge credit to Jokic. He's so good. He's so fun to watch. And again, he's not one of these like overly athletic guys. He doesn't look, you know, anything like a typical NBA superstar.
He looks like a Quesarito.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's why you have these people like Lisa Salters. I didn't know that he could play, or, you know, these other idiots that are trying to say he's won MVPs for other reasons, you know, other than basketball and what he's doing out there. Well, now he's doing it on the biggest stage. And so all these people that quote unquote didn't know about him, now you fucking know about him. And now, you know, you can see he's got all the talent to do all this stuff, you know, and he's setting records. He's doing all these things.
Yeah, he's passing up Wilt. He's passing up all these people that.
Yeah. And again, everybody slept on him. Everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, number 41 overall.
I slept on the guy too.
I did too.
I do. I don't, even until the playoffs, I am one of those people that I didn't give him the time of day. I knew he was good. I knew I could see his numbers. I could see his box score. I'm like, this guy's good. And his team's, you know, top in the West.
I just didn't know in a 7-game series against a really good team with really good players, you know, on both sides
that are game planning against him.
Yeah. That they'd still be able to do this and correct, do it the way that they are. And
yep,
it's worked up until now. Yeah. You know, we'll get to the East. I'm assuming at this point that Miami's going to find a way to advance here pretty soon. And it's going to wind up being Denver, Miami in the finals. And then they're, you know, the Heat are going to have their shot to try to stop it. But so far, nothing's worked. Denver looks like the team to beat.
Yeah, Denver is definitely the team to beat. I guess we can just, I don't think I have any more stuff on Jokic other than, I'm sorry, buddy. We all do. Oh, no, I do have one more thing on him. He's all about family. And I didn't see that stuff until, you know, it's getting highlighted and showcased here during the playoff run and stuff like that. But he, you know, all these things you see, he's got like his wedding ring is laced into his shoe and stuff like that. You saw him go straight to his, you know, brothers and stuff. And
he's really close with his brothers.
Yeah. But just his, you know, his humility and just him talking about the team and saying all the right stuff. Like, what an awesome guy. Yeah.
It just makes you root for him that much more.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. All right. So as you said, Miami there up 3-1 going back to Boston as Boston got that one game the other day. This has been an interesting series because Miami definitely, obviously they're winning games and they look like the better team. But if you kind of like break it down and just look at things, like Boston could be up in this series, which is it seems like 3-pointers are the big thing in the series. And in game 4, they made a bunch of their 3-pointers and ended up winning. Yeah. And in the previous games, they weren't making threes. So I know that's not the only thing. Obviously, Miami's defense is phenomenal. Their game plan, the whole identity talk and stuff is out there. And this is what I was worried of with Boston going in, and that's why I picked Miami to win, because I was like,
you called
I
it.
See him going back and forth, and I don't trust him. And another thing I've been learning is this is kind of like the same idea like with Jokic, where I didn't watch him enough during the regular season. I didn't pay attention to Joe Mazzulla that much during the regular season. The only thing I saw
been in a huge like spotlight now.
I saw that they were winning, and after the whole, you know, Udoka stuff, I was like, wow, he's keeping this team together. They're winning. They're still, you know, a top team and blah, blah, blah. And they got all that talent. And now I'm seeing him actually in like post game conferences and him talking.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
He's like, got
a lack of
personality. He's just kind of, you know, and let's be a little easy on him. I mean, he's a young guy, you know, he's in the spotlight, you know, first time ever head coach, taking on a team with high expectations. There's a lot going on, and give him a little credit. I don't think he should have done this, but I give him credit for doing it. He basically stepped on a grenade and took one for the team when he came out saying, you know, I should have had the players ready. This one's on me, blah, blah, blah. That was stupid. I mean, like I said, I give him credit for saying it, but it's on the players. And especially now, you know, this team's, you know, been to the finals before. And all the things that you said last week about why you were picking Miami. And I said, I'm picking Boston. I think that these guys have the depth. I think that these guys are coming in hot. I think they're going to be good. They haven't, you know, the Horfords, the Williamses, the Brogdons, the Whites.
It sounds exactly like what I said. And I was like, man, that worked out well for me so far.
Yeah. I mean, they were great against Philly at the end, like we talked about. But now they just take turns disappearing. And then on top of that, the stars, Tatum, yeah, Brown,
Jaylen Brown,
the Jaylen inconsistent Brown. Play, the not shooting when you should be shooting, and just the lack of identity at this point. They don't know who they, and they're coming out and saying it, like, we've lost our identity, we've lost our confidence.
Yep.
You can only blame so much of that on coaching. Correct. Or lack thereof. That's on the players, man. And some of these vets and guys that have been there before, they got to step up. And again, we've talked about this before. You can get up to the podium and say whatever the hell you want. This it doesn't matter. It's all about what happens on the court, what you're doing and what you're not doing. And guess what? This is the biggest spotlight here. Everybody's watching. You can't hide. Everybody's got to come to play and play their A game. And they've pointed out on TV, there are effort plays where it's just Miami wants it more. And that can't happen, especially at this level, this stage of the game. You can't lose, you know, if you lose because somebody's just making shots and you're doing everything you can against them and you can't stop them, that's one thing. But like when there's a loose ball and you're clearly not running full speed to get to it, that's the kind of stuff. And I'm sorry, that's not coaching. Coaches can't control that. That's on the players.
No, I agree with you there. Yeah. I just think there's some game plan type stuff with Joe Mazzulla that I wasn't liking. He seems very stubborn. He seems,
and he is. Yeah.
I know that there's
you can smile a little bit, man. You're making good money, you know.
There's just this,
you're getting
mix,
some good,
like,
publicity.
Somebody asked him why he, you know, kept Al Horford in the starting lineup instead of switching him out with Derek White or something. I think that was the question. And he goes, because Al's always been in the starting lineup. That was his response. And I was like, I kind of feel like he feels that way. And I know that's probably a good thing as far as trusting Al Horford and saying, you know, I got your back. But at some point, if things aren't working, change it up a little bit, like make a change. You were down, you know, 1-0 and then 2-0, and game three still just, you know, kind of put out the same.
Well,
lineup.
He benched Robert Williams and went back to the Derek White lineup. So that was kind of like the one.
But he did it like a game late.
Starting lineup. Yeah.
Because he did that for game three, I think, right? Or.
Yeah, I don't think the starting lineup is as big of a deal as it is just like, hey, you know, if you put a lineup out there and right away you notice something where like one guy is either not doing enough or he's getting switched and it's just not a good matchup, then just pull him right away. You know, don't, you know, stick too closely to your guns. You know, if it's not working, make a quick change, you know, sub him out real quick and then, you know, tell him to stay ready and get ready to go back in. Maybe against the second unit, you know.
We just talked about that. Was that the last part of the pod before with a different series? I can't remember which one we were talking about. It's very vivid in my mind right now. I was like, you know, put him in there and pull him if it doesn't work, but don't.
Yeah, I don't remember which one it was either. We were talking about, you know, just wanting to. I can't remember what it was now. Was it Phoenix?
I know. I don't remember. I'd have to go back.
Know.
But I feel like we just talked about it. But
yeah,
I know we did. But anyways, like you said, the star is not showing up too. But the only thing I can say is Jaylen Brown.
It was Golden State.
Yes.
Looney. It was Looney.
It was Looney.
Yep.
Golden State. You're right.
Yeah. They kind of did. So that's kind of the argument against kind of what we're saying with Boston. Is
correct.
That you do kind of want to stick to what's gotten you there. But then
adjust
during
center.
The game and adjust
correct.
Quickly. So it doesn't matter as much about who starts, but like right away, those first few minutes, if you see a mismatch where, you know, it's a disadvantage for your team, make a change, sub somebody else in. And the whole thing with Grant Williams has been kind of puzzling. You know, they've like completely gone away from him and then they put him out there and he plays pretty well. And of course, you know, he had all the trash talk back and forth with Jimmy Butler and that backfired on him and it backfired on the Celtics and they tried to kind of make him the scapegoat there. I don't know that that was entirely fair, but in any case, the pulling him completely from the rotation and then putting him back out there, that's been kind of weird. And I don't really understand that one.
I don't either. Grant Williams has been a big part of like previous years too and rounds. So
yeah.
I thought he was going to have, you know, a bigger part like he did in game four.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't think him get, I do think him getting in the face of Jimmy Butler did affect Jimmy Butler a little bit. Cause that's how Jimmy Butler thrives on that stuff. We know he who he is and what he does. And that was a really interesting part in the game too, because what Boston was up by 9 at that point in the, I think that was like mid to late fourth quarter. And then Miami came right back and won that game. And it's very interesting because if that doesn't happen, we're going, it's 2-2 going back to Boston. It's a totally different series. It's so, yeah. It's so interesting. So
I'll never get mad at a guy though for competing, especially.
No. I don't think it's
these people that were like, you shouldn't have said anything. You shouldn't have woken him up, dude.
No,
he what are you going to do? Awake. Go out there and just, you know, lollygag your way and just not care. Like, yeah. Come on.
I mean, your whole team still needs to play around you.
And we've talked about other guys like him who thrive off that too. Like that they've made a career off of being that kind of that pest that goes out there and talks.
We just saw Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
With LeBron. So.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you do have to pick and choose your moments carefully. But at the same time, like, you know, they got to where they are by doing that, you know, and they're not going to stop. It's the same thing with Draymond. You know, he's going to keep being who he is. He's going to keep saying the things that he says because that's who he is. You know, we are who we are.
I mean, you know? I can tell you that. So it's going personal story, but like Pat, you know, our buddy Pat, when we were playing ball, when we were playing street ball, the first time I met him, we were playing, we started screaming at each other, yelling at each other. And guess what? We both probably played one of the best games we've ever played because we were in each other's face and we were pumping each other up. So even from the Grant Williams perspective, you don't like to be some guy just talking crap to you. You got to stand up for yourself a little bit. And sometimes that usually pumps you up as much as it pumps the other guy up by getting somebody's face. So,
yeah. And it's not like Grant Williams has been bad. I mean, he's,
he hasn't had the time to be bad.
Last game, you know, they won. He was a big part of that, you know, off the bench, 14 points, 6 boards, a steal, a block, 4 threes. He was 4-7. I mean, that's a solid contribution right there. Over half the game.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. But, you talked about the stars not showing up too in the series so far for Boston. And Jaylen, something looks wrong with Jaylen Brown. And I don't know if he's injured or playing through something. I know, didn't he fall on a shoulder or elbow or something in like game one? I can't remember.
Yeah, probably. I mean, but everybody's banged up at this point. Yeah. You know, they can't really use it as an excuse.
He just looks really weird. And when you talked about them passing up shots they should have been taking and stuff, I see Jaylen Brown doing that a lot in this
series. That's the thing, man. And here it is, man. Those two guys, Tatum and Brown, you know, we've had all the trade rumors and all the, you know, talk about they can't play together. But we've seen them play together successfully and win. Correct. And so that's the frustration there. It's like, why do you guys go away from that when we've seen time and time again that you can do it and it works? So it's weird that they just, I don't know. Like, I don't
know. It almost looks like a trust issue between the two, kind of like, cause you see. Tatum.
And a trust issue between the other teammates. Like, how do they not like rally these guys together and say, hey, look, you're our best players. You're our leaders. You know, don't shy away. Go on out there. And
they
they're
just not cohesive. It's 100%. It's weird.
Yeah. And also killer instinct, maybe lack thereof.
Yeah.
So,
I think Tatum seems to force things a lot too, that it almost like he drives into double teams and things like that. Whatever, I guess we can have a whole bunch of opinions on that, but the thing is, what, down 3-1, and obviously no team has ever come back from being down 3-0, but I guess Boston's in an interesting situation where they've got two more, you know, two of the games are at home after they've won this game already on the road. Like, it's not out of the question that they can't come back from this, especially if they play the way that they're capable of playing, but there's just no margin of error. Like, they can't, you know, they have no, they have no room at all because they lose one game and it's over. But, I'm with you. I think Miami pulls it off.
I mean, I originally said Celtics in 7, and that's still a possibility. But at this point, no.
Yeah, I took Miami in 6, and that's still a possibility now too. So.
Yeah, I think that's a really good possibility. I think
I didn't think it was going to happen like this, though.
Yeah, well, I think they're going to pull it out in the next game or two, but we'll see. I've been wrong a lot these last couple rounds here. So
I know I saw Charles Barkley talking about. He said you know, it's going to be a cakewalk for Boston in the next game because they're going to come back home after this win. The, you know, the Garden's going to be all psyched up. And he's like,
yeah,
he's like, game six is basically game seven for Miami is what Charles Barkley thinks.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I think, but I think at this point, you know, obviously Miami needs to win whenever they can. So, I mean, if they can go to Boston and win that one on the road, they'll take it, you know, and I think they're going to try hard. So,
I think it might be easier for them to actually win on the road.
It might for them because they thrive in that kind of pressure. And again, Boston might come back and be like, we're home. Now we can relax a little bit. And, you know, like you said, the fans are going to be really loud and they're going to be cheering them on. But yeah, if you're Boston, obviously you can't lose. You got to come out, you know. So both teams, I think, are going to come out and, you know, be aggressive and hopefully give us a good show here because. Yeah, it's been a little disappointing here. I was worried that we were going to have two sweeps this round. That would have sucked.
You know, a lot of people were worried about that, and this brings us into the part. I'm going to segue right into the WNBA portion of our podcast. So if you don't care for the WNBA, you don't have to listen to this. You can just cut it off right now, and you got your NBA stuff here in the first 40 minutes of the podcast. I saw a lot of stuff out here on Twitter where people were talking about we're going to have no basketball for, you know, a whole week until June 1st.
Well, then you're missing out.
If there was, you know, two sweeps, and there was a lot of comments that I saw on Twitter about stuff like that. And some people were like, that was one guy in particular, actually, in the WNBA highlighted it. His name is, let's see, what's his name? Nekias Duncan. He actually hosts a podcast called The Dunker Spot. Go check it out. It's not bad.
It's a good name.
Good stuff. Yeah. And, but he put something out there. He goes, if you're one of those people, you know, saying there's no basketball for a week, you've got options. Like, it's your prerogative. And then you go through all the comments and people are like, you call that basketball? Screw you. Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, this is interesting. He's like, I just said there's other options out there. I didn't say you have to go watch WNBA.
Exactly.
But if you don't care for it and you don't like the product, I get it. It's not the same as the NBA. I completely respect that and understand that. But you don't got to dog people that actually want to watch it and don't and still enjoy watching it. So
exactly.
So it's out there. So yeah, I'm gonna turn this. I'm gonna dub this the WNBA update. So now I told you I was gonna call it the Dubdate.
Yep. Dubdate. It's a great
going
name.
Forward,
speaking
we'll
of great
it,
names.
Yeah, we'll call it the Dubdate.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll talk about these awesome women in the WNBA. Speaking of awesome women, I just saw something. Tina Turner passed away. So
yeah,
I thought about that. I always think about the championships with the, you know, Simply the Past. That all the time. The Detroit Pistons or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
They did it for
rest in peace, Tina Turner.
So
absolute legend. OG. Yep.
Exactly. But all right. So yeah. So more WNBA stuff. Obviously we got into a league together. I've got another one too that I got in before that. So I got a couple leagues going on. I guess it's just as far as like fantasy. That's how we're going to focus this. Just one tip. These teams, there's not a lot of people out there and the teams are so, there's not a lot of teams in your league. So when you want to make moves, you got to make those moves quick. And you don't have to worry about dropping people that are underperforming because nobody's going to pick them up. They're just going to be sitting there anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That's exactly what I did.
I was going to say, I know you made a couple move or two.
Yeah. I thought we were going to talk about your girl, but since you said that, I want to go right into Ariel Powers here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like Ariel Powers. I love the fact that she's from here. She went to Michigan
State.
That's
the one.
And you know, she's a very talented player. I had a lot of high hopes for her and still do, but I don't understand what the hell's going on with her right now. I don't know why she hasn't been playing, and I'm just wondering, like, is this the first case of load management that we have for the WNBA? Like,
so I was gonna say, I looked into it a little bit more, and interesting enough, I think this is the doing of Cheryl Reeve.
Uh-oh. Cheryl Reeves, my girl. Come on, Cheryl. Don't do this to me.
So I read something, and it said that she had two good practices in the last week. And if you're...
So player.
If you don't have a good practice, that you're going to be on the bench, and that's why she has less minutes if she's a bench player.
So you said she did not have a good practice, or
correct? Did not. Okay. She had, well, she had two good ones out of the entire week.
Oh, like, I see. So
out of 7 days or whatever many practices, right? That's what she's saying. Yes.
Yeah. So what you just said, dude. Like I gave her two games. She's barely played, and I was like, I can't. Like you said, with the lack of players and stuff, and lack of games too. I mean, we've had two days already this week with no games played. So you can't just afford to sit around and wait on people. So I went ahead and dropped her. And I picked up Jessica Shepherd off the Lynx. And, you know, she's been starting and getting solid minutes.
Well.
I assume practicing well. But went one in, one out right there. Just, you know, get one in for the other.
One in, one out.
You got it.
Just, you know, go with the one who's playing and producing, putting up numbers. And, you know, I'll keep an eye on the situation. I love Powers. I want her to, you know, get back out there and get back to doing the things that I drafted her on my team for, you know. And I like watching her play. And, again, like I said, I love that she's a Michigander and, you know, from Detroit and all that good stuff. So.
Actually, I found the quote here. It's a Cheryl Reeve on Ariel Powers tonight. It says she had two good days of practice. That's what I told them. That's where you earn your playing time. Playing time wise, when you're a bench player, that just kind of happens.
All right, Cheryl, come on.
So that's where that's coming
from. Let's do the right thing here.
I can't say anything bad about Cheryl Reeve. If you don't know Cheryl Reeve, obviously you. I worked there with the Shock. But she's like, I believe she's still like the winningest WNBA coach.
She's been there for a long time. I remember Bill Laimbeer helped get her that job when Bill Laimbeer was an assistant coach for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So it goes back a long time. And like you said, Cheryl Reeve was a longtime assistant under Laimbeer for the Detroit Shock. And like I said, I did some freelance work covering the Shock back in the day. So, yeah, there it is. I actually covered Cheryl Reeve, and she's a very nice lady and obviously a very good coach, very knowledgeable, very successful. She has won multiple times in the WNBA, so she knows what she's doing.
Four-time champion. She won, like, every other year.
She knows what she's doing. So
she's like the San Francisco Giants of WNBA basketball.
Yeah, so like I said, I don't know if this is load management maybe or what, but we'll just have to keep an eye on it. But, yeah, if you're in a league and you've got, you know, Ariel Powers on your team, see who else is out there. And, I mean, you know, don't sit around too long and wait. I mean, you can't really afford to. Like you said, less players, less teams, and less time.
And so you're talking about sitting around too long. And that's what I did. My problem was, so I talked about on the WNBA preview, on our podcast, I talked about Izzy B, Isabel Harrison, how was Chicago. I don't know when this injury occurred or when this was determined, but it was definitely after we drafted and stuff.
Yes.
I think she had a meniscus tear. I don't know if it was in practice or when it happened. I didn't look it up that
It happened further. Real quick, but it was definitely after we drafted.
Yeah. So she was like one of my sleepers. I think in the rankings, the initial rankings for WNBA, like right before draft time, she was 48. I was like, I like her 40, you know, low 30s or something. I thought
we talked all about her family and stuff last week too.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Exactly.
How she's such a great person.
Yep. So unfortunately that happened. And, Elizabeth Williams, Christine Enigwe, like those are two people that kind of fill in spots for her now since she's injured. I was slow. I was slow on the trigger. And
yeah, I picked up Williams.
They were gone. And, okay, you got one?
Yeah, and, you know, I, again, just kind of going to go with it, go with the flow here. She's had two solid games. I was kind of surprised that she wasn't drafted. I thought somebody might have taken her, but in any case, I was like, yeah, she's playing really well right now, and I'd seen that injury and I just kind of put two and two together and said, all right, you know, if my last roster spot, why not go ahead and use it here and make a change and see what happens, you know, just kind of.
Yeah. I mean, you can just play the hot hands in the.
Yeah. Play the hot hand. Exactly. Just wait, just, you know, see how long it lasts. And then, you know,
it's the way it is. You can, you know,
Roll that dice.
Just roll the dice on anybody you want.
And this is where it's really important in fantasy to know your league and know your league settings. You know, if you have no limits on pickups and stuff like that, be aggressive. Oh, yeah. You know, go out there and stream, or, you know, early in the season like this, take early flyers on people who are hot quickly, because it might last, you know, and then you might have a steal. And if it doesn't last, you don't lose anything by cutting that player and moving on to the next one.
Yep, that's exactly true.
But it takes going on there and being aggressive and making those moves, rolling that dice.
Yep. And I guess just some other, just, I guess I got some other rankings of people that move the most, and then just some general WNBA topic. I guess cool. I'll start there. I'll just start at Las Vegas and New York, where, like I talked about, where the, we talked about, where the two, you know, kind of powerhouses. Yeah, New York lost their first game to Washington, and they're 1-1 now. So teams have played 1, 2, or 3 games. It's kind of all across the board. And like you mentioned, they don't play every day. A lot, usually Mondays are days off for them. And I think early in the season here, it's like Tuesday, Thursday, and then the weekend. So that's usually most of their games there. Nonetheless, whatever, Las Vegas routed Seattle in their first game. They won by they won by 41 points. And that's without Becky Hammon coaching. Not that apparently they have enough talent that doesn't make a big difference. And if anybody doesn't know, Becky Hammon was suspended 2 games for unethical behavior, I guess.
Weird situation.
Yeah, it was really weird. You can look it up with Dierica Hambry, but I don't know. I don't know if I completely believe that. I think she kind of just went like 2-game suspension, whatever. I'd rather not fight it, and just who cares.
Yeah.
They
just
lost,
sweep it under the rug real quick and move on.
Yeah. They ended up losing a 2025 first round pick as well because of that. And I've actually heard a lot of things about that, where we talked about also on one of the past podcasts that a lot of these players get drafted. There's not enough room for these players. Well, I say a lot, not a lot of people get drafted. Let's put it that way, because there's only 12 teams. So not a lot of people get drafted. And of those people that get drafted, a lot of them get waived and don't even play on teams. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the draft is one of the most exciting parts of these, you know, ladies' careers. And just to take a pick away from somebody who could get picked just as a punishment for a team is kind of weird, because it almost punishes a player that could get drafted.
So I saw
a lot of stuff about that, which was interesting. And I kind of agreed with that. Let's see what else. Oh, Breonna Stewart just went off. And the first game, she only had 14 points or something like that. I can't remember. And that was an away game. And then that was the game they lost to the Mystics. And then they went back home and she had 45 points through 3 quarters, which is a WNBA record there. Yeah. 6 for 9 from 3. So she just went back home to New York and felt good, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Just so talented.
Yeah. I've got her on one of my teams and made a big difference, but I'm still losing both my weeks on both my teams. Let's see, Connecticut Sun. Everybody's saying they're surprised they're 3-0, yet they went to the finals last year. Yes, they lost Jonquel Jones, but they've got so much talent, and Alyssa Thomas has been a beast. she's averaged a double-double the first 3 games of the season. Actually, she's 10 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, and 2 steals in all 3 games this year, which is
solid.
Crazy. Yeah, WNBA record putting up those numbers. Let's see. Where else? Oh, Brittany Griner was a huge thing.
Yeah, speaking of coming home.
Yep.
Her first home game back.
The ratings
felt right at home.
Yeah, the ratings were insane. She played really well, and the ratings
they lost, were though.
Insane. Yeah.
That's the only downside, was that they lost. But yeah. I have Brittany Griner on my team. I actually took her in the first round. Last pick of the first round. And so far, so good.
Nice.
Looks good. But, hopefully, you know, she'll be able to build on that last game and keep it going.
Yeah, I think she will. As far as power rankings are concerned, as far as teams, I know Las Vegas obviously still number one. They got Connecticut number 2. An interesting one is they put the New York Liberty down all the way at number 5 for being 1-1. I think that's a complete overreaction to losing the first game of the year. They're still an incredible.
Well, I think it's just that they're looking at the teams above them and seeing 0 losses, so they're kind of rewarding that. But it's so
the
early.
Mystics are ahead of them. They put the Mystics at 3 at 1-1.
Those power rankings. I know, it's too so early for that, anyways. I mean, let these players play a little bit before you just come right out and say who's good and who isn't. You know.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess really great ratings as far as TV ratings and people attending and watching WNBA games this year, I think.
And that's what we want to hear.
The Phoenix one obviously was inflated by the Brittany Griner return.
Sure.
I think it was the highest ratings they've had in 11 years. But yeah. Who cares? If that's something that helps them out, gets more exposure to the game, that's
this
great.
Is going
to
sound awful, but thanks, Russia.
I can cut that out. I might have to edit that.
I'm joking for the record.
Hold on. I think I might have some for that.
No, man. No.
There you go. All right. All right. And then just as far as players are concerned, I had some other people that when I drafted, I talked about in the preview too. I liked Aaliyah Boston as a rookie. She's been solid. I liked Maddie Segrist. She only got 3 minutes. So I ended up just dropping her. I was like, screw it. Diamond Miller was the name I went blank on when I was talking about from Maryland, number two pick. She's been okay. I mean, she's been playing decent minutes, and I think she's just going to get better. But that's it as far as the people I was talking about. And then just as far, I got four people who moved. Well, I had more than four because we talked about two of them, but four other people that moved a lot in the rankings since we had talked about them. Number three right now as far as fantasy rankings is Arike Ogunbowale with the Dallas Wings. She was actually ranked 8 last week. She's number 3. She had a 27-point game, I believe, in that first game of the year. So she was awesome, and she is awesome. She's just the focal point of the offense, so I don't think that see that stopping. Sabrina Ionescu with New York, lower numbers, and I think we called that. So she started off at 4. She's at 8 right now. And I think Breonna Stewart's just taken a little bit of the shine away from that.
Yeah. Which you called?
I did. Yeah. Elena Deladon last week was 14. She's 9. Another person I said was probably going to shine and be awesome.
Yeah, as long as she's healthy, she'll be
healthy,
good to go.
Yep. That's the big one. And then this one, not a huge surprise to me. She also has to stay healthy, is Satu Sabally with Dallas as well. She was 32 last week. She's 24 currently. She against Atlanta, she had 25 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, like 2 blocks, it looks like, and 3 triples. So just a kick butt game. But if she stays healthy, she also would be huge between her and Arike. And actually, Dallas could be one of those teams that are just better than people can expect. So, but yeah, that's just all I got as far as WNBA. I don't know if you got anything else there.
I think that's a wrap, dude.
That's all I got, my brother.
Right. Time to go.
All righty. Again, we thank everybody for listening to Menace Podman. You can find episodes every week. You can find us on Twitter at Menace Podman. If you're into sports betting, don't forget to go on outlier.bet and click the link on the top of our Twitter. There's a 7-day free trial. Let's see what else. Yeah, we just thank everybody for letting us use their platforms to get this out on there. Spotify, iTunes, Riverside for recording, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. Podcastle's been awesome lately, so we've been using them for some things. But other than that, we just encourage you to get out there, please leave us a review or put any type of ranking or rating on there that you can. It helps move us up the charts and just give us visibility. So totally appreciate it if you can do that. And hopefully you're enjoying the podcast, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
And Miss Parman.